we felt like the way that we are going to continue to evolve as a company, that we're going to offer more services. And those are things right now that we're looking at and testing to continue to add on. And we just felt like now's a good time to reinvent our kind of name descriptor, if you will, but also our brand voice, our tone, you know, the materials, how we communicate with our guests. There's so much, you know, to kind of answer your second question about innovation that we're working on. We just felt like now's a good time to like put that new flag in the ground.
Welcome to the Art of Franchise Marketing. Each episode takes a deep dive into the franchise space and explores how the biggest and best brands handle national branding, franchise development, employee recruitment, and localized marketing on a daily basis. This podcast is brought to you by NetCertiv, a multi-location digital marketing partner for franchise networks. NetCertiv's Madeline Park, talk shop with franchise executives to discuss what's working, what's not, and answers the question, what else can you be doing to excel at the art of franchise marketing?
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Art of Franchise Marketing. I am Maddie, the Director of Marketing at NetCertiv. Today we have Brooks Walter, the Director of Marketing at Zips Dry Cleaning, soon to be Zips Cleaning, so dropping the dry from the name. So we'll be into talking about a whole bunch of branding stuff and the industry. So Brooks, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Madeline.
Awesome. Well, we'll get right into it. Brooks, tell me about your background. How did you get into marketing and franchising and then your role that you're in now?
Yeah, so my background started in sports marketing. So out of college, I started working for the Philadelphia Eagles and Monumental Sports and Entertainment, which is the Caps and Wizards in DC. And after several years of working in the sports marketing space, specifically in corporate partnerships, so that's the activation team, working with big sponsors like Pepsi's and Capital One, and activating the deals on behalf of the team, I kept finding myself meeting with clients and wanting to understand how that partnership fit into their overall marketing strategy and puzzle, which led me to make the switch and jump to an agency. And I worked with Papa John's local co-ops across the country on their marketing plans. So that was kind of my first experience with franchisees firsthand and get a better understanding of their businesses and how marketing plays a part in it. Learned a ton about media buying, learned a ton about that rest of the puzzle that I was searching for, and led me to want to jump on the brand side. So I went to the Green Turtle Franchising Corporation, which is the parent company for the Green Turtle Sports Bar and Grill, which is just under 40 locations here in the Northeast. Spent a couple years there, an iconic brand in Maryland, and this opportunity came up with another iconic brand in the Mid-Atlantic, Zips Dry Cleaning, or Dry Cleaners rather, that we are now, as you mentioned, in the process of changing this week to becoming Zips Cleaners. So was excited to jump and be a part of another brand in the area.
Sure. Yeah, that's great. And you definitely hit a lot of names that I'm sure everyone knows. So I love with franchising that it's never just, one route that gets people there. They come from all over. You're the first person I've heard that's come from like a major sports marketing world. So love that. I played professional basketball for a little bit. So I definitely appreciate the background there. So for people who might not be as familiar with Zips Dry Cleaners, tell us about your brand. How many locations? What's the history, and kind of a little background behind why you guys are going through a brand refresh now?
Absolutely. So Zips started out as 8 separate dry cleaners in the Baltimore, Washington area in 2002. So we're actually hitting our 20th anniversary. Perfect time for a brand refresh.
There we go.
And so, the stores, they united because they wanted to have a common goal of kind of revolutionizing the dry cleaning experience. Have high quality services, but at one low price. And since then, we've expanded to just under 70 locations across the country. Our primary footprint has, obviously been in the Baltimore, Washington area, but we have stores out in California, down in Florida. And we clean, over 20 million garments a year and service 500,000 customers. So definitely a lot of people coming through our doors and taking care of their garments and household items.
Yeah, that is... when I was growing up, I'd always see my parents go to dry cleaners and I'm like, I never got it. And now that I have to wear big girl clothes, I'm like, I get it. I understand it. Well, so we'll get more into, you know, what's going into this whole brand refresh, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners either have gone or anticipating going through the same thing. But first thing I want to talk about is some obstacles you face while you're in your industry. You know, I'm not familiar with your industry, but I imagine, you know, it was affected heavily by COVID. And, you know, we've got a lot of people now going to the more casual work environment. So, you know, what are some obstacles you face while marketing in your industry? And how are you guys working to kind of overcome that? And if not, grow just in general?
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, you hit it on the head. COVID definitely didn't do us any favors, you know, obviously with people working from home. And then even with people going back in the office, like you mentioned, wearing some more casual wear. You know, at the same time, you know, that's specifically around the dry cleaning business. You know, obviously there's a lot of older folks that are now getting into the retirement age, coming out of the workforce anyways. So it kind of sped up the process of kind of what's been happening even prior to COVID. You know, but what we're primarily focused on is offering different services, you know, that, you know, service some of those athleisure wears that you mentioned, you know, that, you know, kind of that fast fashion that people are typically wearing nowadays. And, you know, really it's making sure that we are a to Z cleaning solution company for people. So, you know, whether it's your household items, whether it's your laundry. So during COVID, we started a wash and fold line, which is, you know, you bring us your laundry basket dirty and we'll bring it back to you clean, folded, ready to go back in your drawers. That's the last step you have to do on your own.
Be careful what you ask for, because I will show up and then you're going to just retract that statement. We got a lot of laundry, pal.
Well, that's good. You know, young kids, and, you know, we're happy to take care of the whole family.
That's awesome. Yeah. And so in doing this, you know, I imagine that the competitive landscape's a little different, because correct me if I'm wrong, but you probably, to some extent, the laundromats are kind of a competitor. I know that usually services a little bit of a different market, but if you're looking at a like holistic standpoint, and then you've got people who do it at home that you want to, you know, have be a customer, and then you've got the independents. So what does that competitive landscape looks like? Is that a big piece of, you know, what goes into your marketing and how to overcome that?
Yeah, the garment care industry is definitely a unique one. And coming from a restaurant, you know, background and experience, it's similar but different. You know, obviously on every corner, there's a mom and pop, red letters, cleaners, unbranded. Right. So they're everywhere. And then there's also, you know, you mentioned laundromats. And then there's the washing and drying machines at home. And we look at all of them as our competitors. You know, and like I mentioned before, you know, we want to be the one-stop shop that if a button pops off your shirt, we'll replace it for you. If you need a hem, you know, our alterations team will take care of you. If you have a stain, we'll take care of you. If you're the person who wears a suit every day for work, we'd love to see you all the time. And then if you're, you know, like several of my friends, where you put a suit on 3 times a year for weddings and whatnot, then you can come in and we'll still happily take care of you. So, you know, for us, you know, we see the opportunity in the garment care business to really, you know, I hate to say McDonaldize it, but there really isn't that one brand that's across the nation. You know, Zip, like I mentioned, started in the DMV. There's several Zips, if you will, across the country that have kind of taken a certain market and made it their own. But we're in a position right now to kind of capitalize on, you know, with COVID, a lot of mom and pops weren't able to make it, and they're still struggling right now. So we're actually in the process of having tons of conversations with some of these regional brands, with some of these mom and pops, and talking about how easy it would be for them to convert over to Zips and take advantage of the franchise model, you know, because that's ultimately the benefit of joining a franchise group, is that, you know, you have tons of resources that you would be on your own to try to figure out and navigate through. So we view all those as competitors, you know, but at the same time, we have some differentiators that separate us, which I'm sure we'll get into.
Sure. Listen, if you want to convert my washer and dryer into its own Zips in the laundry room, I'd be happy with that.
All right. No,
that's really great. And I love that, you know, I don't want to say capitalizing on the pandemic, but seeing the opportunity of, you know, the mom and pops that might be struggling and reaching out, because it not only benefits you guys to grow, but also them as well, because now they're having, you know, that extra layer of support, not necessarily having to give up a family business. So that's really great. So you've got your marketing. What is, and I always ask brands this, what's that number one marketing outlet that works for you? Because in franchising, it's all over the board. And so I own home services, and direct mail and yard signs still work amazing, where if you tell that to a different brand, they'd be like, what are you, crazy? So I'm curious, in your industry, what is that marketing outlet that works really well?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's having a good mix. You know, I'm actually only a couple months on the job now, but, you know, when I was looking at the opportunity, you know, I looked at it as, you know, back in the day, people, when they're looking for a service, you know, like garment care, you know, they would go to the Yellow Pages, you know, and for those listeners who don't know what Yellow Pages are, that was a book that actually listed addresses and phone numbers, essentially what Google was before Google existed. And, you know, now that Yellow Pages don't exist, that's exactly what consumers do. They go to Google, they go online, they go on their phones, their computers, tablets, what have you, and they're searching for services near me. So if I was looking for alterations or dry cleaning, and my job, my main focus is making sure that Zips in our trade areas is showing up in the top of that list. So I'm heavily focused on the digital front, you know, obviously doing some paid social, SEO, pay-per-click, you know, making sure that when people are looking for our services, they find us. Obviously looking at our customer data, you know, looking at our top 20% of our customers, that in most businesses, your top 20% make up about 80% of your revenue. We're no different there. And we're trying to find those lookalike customers, you know, so we're trying to target people that currently aren't coming to Zips, but look like a Zips customer, you know, from the makeup that's available in the big brother world of the digital space. And target to them. But you hit it on the head too. Print is certainly not dead. I actually find it interesting that I've noticed in my personal email box and mailbox that over the years, my mailbox has gotten thinned out and less mail coming in, and my email box is exploding and it's overwhelming. Yeah. And, you know, it takes time throughout the day to kind of skim through what's trash and, you know, opting out of things. Whereas now that the mailbox has quote unquote thinned out, with a nice mail piece, you really could stand out. And I like to do the targeted approach there as well. And, you know, look at, you know, within the mile radiuses of our stores, target, you know, household income levels, and really go after customers that, you know, are potential customers of ours, and try to give them an exciting offer to come in.
Yeah, no, I love that. And it's so true, is that the mailbox really is thinning out. Yesterday I got zero mail and I was like, is this, what is happening? But, and then with email, like, yeah, it is cheaper, but, you know, especially with Google, they can separate spam and promotions and all of that stuff. So, you know, it's really taking a look at, you know, where is that actual ROI coming from? Because yeah, it can be cheaper and you're sending out many more emails, but what is that click-through rate? Whereas, you know, spending a little extra money on the direct mail, a nice piece, and then seeing that come through. So I think that that's such a great point. That if you're, it's kind of, you know, boils down to, if you're going to do it all the way, you know, do it up to your brand standards and not just going with what's cheaper or what's popular, because obviously, you know, it works for different things, work for different brands.
Absolutely.
So for your franchisees, do you guys require a marketing spend or is it recommended?
So it is required. So each franchisee pays into the National Advertising Fund. So here at headquarters, we control that fund. And, you know, we try to be equitable across the whole system and make sure, you know, those are the things that are touching all the stores. In the local marketing, in the local market of the Baltimore, Washington area, we have a little co-op that's formed there. It provides some extra benefits. You know, we're penetrated in that market where we could tap into things like TV, radio. With my background in sports, you know, I'm having conversations with a lot of the local teams here, forming partnerships. And so we do also require that each store spends 1% in local store marketing within their marketing or within their territory. And, you know, it's definitely not one of those things where, you know, we kind of leave them off to the lurch to, you know, best figure out how to spend that 1%. We provide them a playbook and resources on how to spend it. We're actually developing right now quarterly opt-in programs on the digital and print. giving them opportunities to utilize that 1% in a way that, you know, we can help manage and obviously, you know, track results and metrics there. But it really gives that turnkey franchise experience, which is, again, why they join Zips, is because they're looking for help in those areas. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah, I love that. I think, you know, there's a bunch of different franchisee and franchisor opinions on this. A lot of people think, oh, I already pay the National Advertising Fund, that should cover me. But it doesn't, as you put, penetrate that local market, which is what you have to do to get more customers locally. So having a good mix of that is important. And this wasn't on the talking points, but I feel like you'll be able to speak to it. So a lot of franchisees and franchisors know and are so interested in creating partnerships, whether it's like local sports teams or, you know, whatever out there. You know, what are your recommendations for doing that or approaching that for someone who's never done it? You know, there might be a minor league team or, you know, whatever in their area. What are some tips that you have to, like I said, making something like that happen?
Absolutely. And obviously it depends on your budget and your scale. You know, if you're a one store operation or if you're a franchise, you know, multi-unit within a given market, obviously that's going to help. You know, one thing that I found pretty quickly on the sports side of things is there's a business case study there. They need cleaning services, you know, for ushers and ticket takers, their uniforms to be clean, the players' uniforms. Like, that's one of the things we're talking about right now is actually cleaning the uniforms that the players wear and their practice gear, and really have that outsourced. So there's money to be had on both sides, and whether you develop it through trade, you know, so again, going back to my restaurant days, a lot of times we would feed, you know, the front office staff or players and be able to get assets for providing them food. And so you could certainly be creative, with it, but, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, you're looking for that brand awareness and the credibility. You know, I think nowadays there's two things that people watch live on TV, and it's news and it's sports. And so you can tap into sports, you know, when people are watching from their homes at TV on TV, or, you know, at the ballpark or at the arena, you know, have some type of signage or in-game promotion. If you're a business like ours, your ultimate goal is to drive those fans into your stores. So creating assets that are going to try to do that. So, you know, whether it's, you know, giving some type of giveaway, or some type of, you know, call to action, messaging on the LED boards, you know, you want to make sure that people understand what your business is and give them a reason to come try you out.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that you hit it the nail on the head right in the beginning when you said, you know, there's either a trade or, you know, money to be made on both sides, because what I coach a lot on is, you know, you can't just approach a brand and be like, oh, I like you guys, you should like us, or I'm so awesome, partner with us. Like, there needs to be a value prop there. Yeah. And, you know, you provided a great example for the uniforms that, you know, they need to be cleaned. Like, right there is an easy value that you can provide to them. So, you know, approaching the business side of things in that sort of way is important, just like you would for a consumer. You have to provide them value, education, and some sort of exclusive, you know, exclusivity, if you will, you know, to make that a successful partnership. So thank you for that. So our next major topic was staying innovative. And instead of just, you know, being like, oh, how do you innovate? Like, let's talk about this brand refresh. So you came in hot and heavy and they're like, hey, new brand. So how did that start? Where did you even begin? What does the process look like? Is it the full thing? Do you have an agency? Take me through it, Brooks.
Yeah. So the CEO actually of Zips here was the former CEO at Green Turtle, who brought me over. You know, we've had conversations for several months leading up to me coming over here. And, you know, I think they were, as I mentioned before, coming up on a 20th anniversary. Obviously, coming out of the pandemic, a lot of variables led to the decision of, you know, we need, you know, not just to change our name a little bit by dropping dry. You know, the reason why we did that is because dry cleaning is just one of five services that we offer. So we offer dry cleaning, we offer laundry service, which is like launder and press shirts, household care, so that's your blankets, your comforters, et cetera, alterations, And like we talked about before, starting wash and fold. So, you know, you bring us your laundry basket, we'll clean it and fold it for you. And we felt like the way that we are going to continue to evolve as a company, that we're going to offer more services. And those are things right now that we're looking at and testing to continue to add on. And we just felt like now's a good time to reinvent our kind of name descriptor, if you will, but also our brand voice, our tone, you know, the materials, how we communicate with our guests. There's so much, you know, to kind of answer your second question about innovation that we're working on. We just felt like now's a good time to like put that new flag in the ground. Because when it comes to innovation, you know, we're testing delivery right now. So, you know, I know you mentioned, you know, getting things picked up and dropped off. That's huge. And I think coming out of the pandemic, people are looking for conveniences. I mean, I think nowadays everyone's so used to Amazon, you know, you're sitting on your bed at night and you forgot, you know, I need something. The next day it's sitting on your porch. Right. I think that's so convenient. I feel honored. I was the first delivery test that we started. I sacrificed
a
couple of my shirts to make sure that it worked in the process, that, you know, left the store and it was on my doorstep. And it was a nice feeling, honestly. You know, I dropped my clothes off in the morning. So we have a in by nine, out by five, same day service. So I dropped it off before nine. It was a rainy day. I got back in my car. And normally I'm thinking, all right, you know, I have my receipt, I leave it in the dashboard. I'm thinking about when I'm going to go back and pick it up, but I didn't have to think about it. I knew that night it was going to be waiting for me on my doorstep. And sure enough, when I came home, it's sitting there waiting for me. And that convenience was huge. And I can't wait for our customers to be able to experience that. But outside of that, we are certainly looking at a lot of other ways to kind of, I don't want to say catch up, but, you know, there's a lot of technology out there like kiosks and lockers and a mobile app. We just want to make sure that, you know, if there's any type of touch point and interaction that a customer wants to have with Zips, it's there for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love the idea of that you're looking at across all of the boards, apps, lockers, you know, what can we do to what you said, you know, those touch points. And I think that's a very important thing for our listeners to hear, because just as I'm in home services, you're in dry cleaning. It's not the sexiest business. People aren't like, ooh, I'm cool. Like even if you buy into a dry cleaning, a maid service, but there are ways to keep it current and fresh and, you know, keep up with all of those flashy brands. Only, you know, on our side, we're more recession resistant, you know, we're kind of a staple there. So, you know, I'm really happy that you have brought that, because I think a lot of people just assume that legacy industries are just kind of boring and traditional. And while they certainly can be, there is plenty of opportunity to grow from there.
And you hit it on the head. I mean, I think traditionally people want to market us as a service, you know, people want to, mm-hmm. but really the way we're positioning ourselves is, you know, we're, you know, trying to alleviate that burden of your laundry, you know, and we're an accessible cleaner. You know, our pricing is a low price, you know, cleaner. We're $2.99 for dry cleaning, which compared to many other places out there, you know, your mom and pops, you walk in and depending what car you drive and depending mm-hmm. on what type of clothing you're bringing in is going to dictate the price you get. And so, you know, we stand behind our pricing. So we're accessible in that regards. And essentially we want to give people, our customers, the freedom to do things in life that matter. They don't like cleaning. They don't like ironing. They don't like having to do that. Our people do, you know, bring us your clothes. We'll take care of it for you. You can drop it off, you know, and we'll deliver it. And, you know, you can certainly go off and, you know, work and play and have fun and not worry about, like you said, having to put in loads of laundry at home.
Oh, the worst is when you leave it in the washer because you fall asleep on the couch watching Peppa Pig. And then next thing you know, it's 6 a.m. and you didn't move it to the dryer. And now everything smells. The kids are yelling. Where's my favorite shirt? Listen, I'm sold. So I have to play devil's advocate a little bit. And I'm curious. So you're dropping dry cleaning, which I'm totally on board with. Makes so much sense. Because obviously I'm the most important person in the room. Obviously my opinion matters. But how are you approaching the potential consumer confusion between like a cleaning service? Because if you're going into a new area, they're not going to already know. So what is your thought process around that?
Yeah. So, and we looked at this in a bunch of different ways. We looked at so many different names, and, you know, we came to the fact that most of our competition, you know, whether it's these regional chains in other markets, or those, you know, red letter cleaners, that we talked about earlier, you know, they are just cleaners. And we felt that Zips, you know, especially in this market, people already knew us, you know, in some regards. In the newer markets you mentioned, you know, obviously on that digital front, like I talked about, through our listings, through how we're showing up in search, keywords definitely make it easy so people can understand it. We're updating our website, so that way we're gonna have actually a brand new website in a couple months here. So I'm definitely excited to get that out.
Yeah, I bet.
we obviously have a ton of projects going on, as you can hear. But yeah, we're definitely laser focused on making sure our message is very clear on the services we do offer, and that they don't confuse us, you know, for another cleaning solution.
That's a great point. I think a lot of people, when they're going through branding, they think, you know, oh, I can't do this because someone already has it. But the truth is that you just got to be, as you said, laser focused, highly targeted, especially on the digital front. And, you know, you can make a name like Uber work. You know, it's just all about, you know, the brand promise and making sure that you cover all your bases when you're advertising. So how did you communicate to your franchise community that you guys were dropping Dry? And did you get any pushback? Were they on board? What was that like? Because I can't imagine everyone was happy about that.
Yeah, so we have really great franchisees. I think a lot of them were actually, before my time, like asking for it and saying we need to do something to tell people that we do more than just dry cleaning. So we have a franchise advisory council that we meet with on a quarterly and monthly basis. They were involved in the process. You know, we do have an agency. I know that was one of your questions earlier. We do have an agency that we're working with to help us kind of articulate how we want to convey the creative and the strategy behind it. And they were involved in that process of, you know, we got together as a group. We've been doing multiple meetings and multiple calls, you know, identifying who we are as a brand, who we want to be moving forward, how we want the brand voice to be. And it's exciting that they were a part of it. You know, so they are some of our most engaged franchisees, a mix between new franchisees, some founders, a mix between in-market in our core market and some expansion markets. So we had definitely a good mix of opinions and thoughts. And I think everyone was really on board. And honestly, so when we sent that message out, once we identified the look and feel that we're moving towards, and we heard nothing but positive things.
That's incredible. And that is, to everyone listening, the way that I think it should be done, especially in the day and age where franchisee satisfaction is so important and communication is so important. We're, on my side, one of our brands is currently going through a rebrand. My marketing professional background, of course, was like, okay, I see why you're doing this, but, you know, show me the metrics, let's talk about it. You know, and in response, I kind of got vague answers and, well, you're lucky we're even telling you ahead of time anyways, because most franchisees just, you don't even get a say. When, be that as it may, you know, that's not necessarily great just because, you know, you might be giving me an inside look, but still not listening to anything I have to say, you know, isn't awesome. And I can tell you that the franchise community is not very happy or satisfied right now. Whereas if we had a little bit more of what you said, let's do this together. Let's talk about the people that are in your local markets and taking a little bit more time and working as a team rather than just like, well, we're the franchisor and you're lucky that you're a part of us type thing. Well, sure, that might be it for some people. I think your best bet to end up with the result you have with very happy franchisees is to do exactly what you're doing, you know, work at it together. So kudos to that for sure. So your brand refresh is going live this week, correct?
Yeah. So signs are going up as we are talking right now. Signs have been going up all week. So super excited that on Saturday, everything will kind of be switched over from Zips Dry Cleaners to Zips Cleaners.
That is awesome. And now that you're in the final stretch, is there anything that has been that you can look back on and be like, wow, that was a much bigger task than I had anticipated? Or was everything kind of, you know, fell into place after you finished one thing, it was the next thing, or is there one big thing that stands out as like, oy?
The whole process. No.
Yeah, I imagine that.
it is a consuming thing. And I think, you know, you're taking a brand that's been around for 20 years and, you know, there's so much touch points and, you know, I am definitely not a patient person. At most of the time, I'm definitely those people who I have my to-do list. I want to get things through the list as quickly as possible and on to the next. And I think, you know, I've kind of had to tell myself this, and I've obviously shared this with the franchise community as well as our internal team here. I call this our middle school phase, where, you know, there's going to be a couple months here where we got our braces on, where, you know, not everything from dry cleaning is going to be switched over to cleaners. You know, obviously, you know, especially on the supply chain, you know, there's several months of inventory that we have to work through on poly bags and our branded bags and such like that. Or signage in store outside of the marquee sign. So that's what I was referring to is going up this week. You know, that's really the first, you know, big project. And, you know, and the other thing is we want to be respectful of our franchisees. And you know, obviously coming out of COVID, you know, these are expenses. And it is going through a brand refresh is not cheap, you know, and so we're doing this in phases. That's why I kind of called it our middle school phase. Where
I love that.
That awkwardness a little bit, you know, and I think everyone's behind it and understands that, you know, it's not an overnight thing. There's not that grand big reveal, and that's okay. And I think me making myself okay with that and then conveying that message out that, you know, it's going to take, you know, like I said, a couple months to get everything switched over, that, you know, it's exciting that, you know, come August, which is, you know, the last thing, our website that has the furthest deadline out at this point that we literally are just starting now. I say by August, everything will be switched over. And that includes everything. That's signage. That's uniforms. We're starting a loyalty program in-house with new email marketing through HubSpot, where we can start segmenting out guests. So we are really evolving and innovating in the space.
That's great. And I love that you're kind of doing it in phases, because I think a lot of people think as soon as we launch the brand, everything has to be picture perfect. And that's just not the phase or the fact. A lot of brands and locations have to go through that middle school phase, you know, to get to the beautiful, you know, salon that they become. So I think that that's a great thing to admit there. So this leads us to our final talking point. And I was going to talk about localizing, but we kind of already covered that. So instead, I kind of want to switch to you, where you have a million projects going on. You're relatively new to the company. You've got everything on your plate. So what does your team look like internally? And are you outsourcing or using suppliers for a lot of these different moving parts? Because, you know, the capacity at also supporting franchisees is, you know, extra capacity is minimal. So I'm curious how you guys are getting all this done along with a brand refresh as well.
Yeah. So I'm fortunate enough to come into having some really good people internally on my team. You know, I have three individuals, you know, one primarily focused on the digital marketing front, and that's his area of expertise. I have a creative specialist who, you know, she's great at design. She's taking input from the agency that we're working with as part of the brand refresh and, you know, bringing that into our creative materials now. She's also our point person on new store openings. So we didn't talk about growth, but we have 6 stores slated to open for the rest of this year with a big pipeline for next year. So, you know, we're just under 70 now, but, you know, we'll be approaching that 100 very quickly. You know, 2019 prior to COVID was the best year this company ever had. Obviously, just like many businesses, we stumbled a little bit, but we're roaring back. So we're definitely excited to grow. But so she's our primary marketing focus on new store opening development as well. And then I have a creative marketing marketing coordinator who kind of helps keep the trains on track, you know, helps with ordering print materials and things like that. But I do have, you know, again, you know, no one can do this alone. You have to have agency partners, you have to have internal resources. So I came into this and I was looking at it. We had about 4 or 5 different portals that franchisees were jumping in for print materials and for uniforms and things like that. So I selected a partner that's going to handle all of that for us and really bring it all in-house for and a convenience for our franchisees. And they've been awesome to work with and being a one shop to help with signage, help with print materials, uniforms, et cetera. It makes it easy. And then, like I mentioned, we have an agency that's helping us with the brand refresh and that creative and strategy and how we want to articulate the brand. And then we did just select a digital agency that is going to work hand in hand with our internal digital marketing manager and really help bring Zips up to speed on where we need to be spending dollars. You know, like I said before, you know, laser focused on making sure that when people are looking for our services, they're finding us top of the search. So, you know, they're also looking at doing some cool things with like influencer marketing and, you know, obviously some more of the trendy tactics that are out there that, you know, I think we need to dip our toes in. And, you know, again, I know you mentioned before dry cleaning and cleaning business isn't the sexiest, but, you know, I know you as a mom, there's a lot of mom groups out there. There's a lot of people out there that read articles and consume things on social media. And you know, I think if you hit the right audience with the right message, that can go a long way.
That's great. And I'm curious, what is the vendor that's bringing all of those different portals in-house?
Yeah, so it's a company called Strategic Factory. They're actually headquartered here in Maryland. And yeah, they work with some of the top franchisees or franchising companies in the nation. And I was starting to work with them in a prior life, starting to spin that process up. And when I came here, I made the call, you know, because again, our job as a franchisor is to make life easy for the franchisee. And, you know, as soon as I came in and I'm starting to, you know, chug from a fire hose, so to speak, and learn all the processes and learn things, I did not want to be the guy that's going to come in and, you know, just, you know, disrupt and do everything all at once. But I just felt strongly that, you know, we weren't providing the best in class in that area. So, you know, I felt that it was good to bring them in and to ensure that I obviously could handle it. But again, we're about to go through a lot of growth here. So, you know, I had to make sure, you know, that the foundation is right. You know, it's like building a house. You got to make sure the foundation is right before you start putting up the pretty pictures, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that sentiment because while, you know, most franchise brands understand, you know, it's going to be a mix of internal and outsourcing and, you know, but there are ways to get creative where, you know, to your point, you already had solutions in place, but it wasn't the best it could be. So you brought in, you know, someone who could make it the best it could be. So that's just because you can do it, you know, don't offload potentially other experts because, you know, that's why they're there. So I think that that is, you know, a super, super important piece there because I do see a lot of franchise brands that do it. And yeah, we're okay at it, but you know, be great. You should be great.
We wanted best in class. You know, we could have easily gone out and gotten an agency of record and, you know, they would have handled anything from creative to strategy to digital to print. And, you know, coming from an agency, you know, I know how agencies work. And I think agencies typically start in and specialize in one field. And then a client asks, hey, can you do XYZ? And of course, an agency, especially if you're at that higher level where they're more in a sales role, they're always going to say yes. And then as soon as you leave, they're going to try to figure it out. And most of the time, they can stand something up, but are you really getting the best service in that area? So what my focus was is I wanted to, you know, do a more of a best in class model. So I wanted to go out and find someone that's really going to help with this brand refresh. I wanted to find a digital agency that's all they do. They literally, that's all they do. They don't try to dabble in other spaces. You know, and so to me, it was important to, after evaluating our internal team, looking at opportunities and bringing in those best in class resources, I feel really, really good about the team and the roster that we have right now.
That's really cool. Yeah. And I am definitely going to make a soundbite out of that because it's so true. You know, people just try to be a jack of all trades. And more times than not, you're going to get the best results with bringing in experts in that exact field. So that's really great. You know, I am very, very good at digital marketing. However, if you put a Google AdWords account in front of me, I'm going to be like, oh, sure, I can do it. And then like call my friend who does it for real. So, you know, you know, staying true to yourself and as a brand and, you know, really understanding your vendors is so important. So we are coming up on time, but I have a couple more questions. So For Fran Dev, you guys are growing very fast. So what are those growth goals in the next, you know, where would you like to see Zips in the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't want to put our franchise sales guy on the spot. But you know, I think we all, what's really cool about our headquarters team here is we all have the goal in mind, and we see the opportunity in front of us that, you know, we can grow very quickly. You know, if we continue to, you know, build the model that works within this industry and continue to evolve. And the goal I have in mind is, you know, let's be the biggest in the country. And, you know, there's a few out there that are bigger than us currently, you know, a couple hundred locations. And, you know, we have some big franchise development deals that, you know, that are in place. So as those stores continue to open, it's going to scale pretty quickly. And I am confident with people going back to work. I think, you know, I've started going to weddings again. I think the world is slowly coming back. And I think, like I mentioned before, I think even though people may be wearing less business attire to work on a typical day, a lot of those garments still need to be, you know, cared for and treated, you know, and that the washing machine at home, unfortunately, over time is going to, you know, deteriorate that article of clothing. So I think we can help. And this is a part of our messaging is, you know, we can help prolong that expensive athleisure wear, you know, glorified sweatpants or golf pants that people are wearing now. And again, I'm not going to sit here and say I love to wear dress clothes all the time, you know, but at the same time, I think people want to look nice. So, you know, I definitely have a goal in mind, as well as we all do here, to really become and be the biggest in the space.
That's great. And where do the majority of your Fran Dev leads come from? Are they coming from the traditional, you know, brokers, portals, organic, or is there a silver bullet that you have just figured out that works? Because I know people are going to ask me that.
Yeah. So our franchise development team, they've been out hitting trade shows again. So it's good to see that those have spun back up. They get a ton of leads on the national level from that end. We have a good reputation. There's a lot of people that just reach out through our website organically, looking for more information. A lot of our franchisees are franchisees of other gyms and restaurants. And, you know, we typically look for franchisees that obviously understand business, but understand the franchise model, because it's a lot easier to explain the business and why Zips is a value proposition versus having to explain the whole franchise model. What's it like being a franchisee? And a lot of our franchisees have brought us additional, you know, franchisees telling them about the success they're having, which is obviously, like, you know, a great story to have that, you know, word of mouth, helps lead us there. But, you know, I'm working with our franchise development guy as well as our digital agency to really, you know, amp us up on the digital front. Cause I do think, you know, now that we're starting to look at different markets, and be, geo-targeting certain markets, we obviously want to be focused on them, and the digital front allows us to, you know, focus on who we'd be looking for in a certain trade area, to start identifying, you know, potential franchisees.
That's awesome. You heard it here first, folks. Like, there is no silver bullet. You just have to work what's working. And to Brooke's point, his website is bringing in the best quality leads, a lot of reach out, which means his website is good and the creative is there and the form is tested to convert. So your websites will work and people are still going to find franchise information from websites. Just please, when you tell me that your website doesn't work, make sure it's not user error. Franchise websites don't work anymore. I have to use, you know, XYZ. I'm like, well, let's look at this. Well, we are up on time. I have two final questions, which are always the favorites. So first one, and they're both two-parters, is how do you define success as a franchisor? And does that differ from how you would define success as a franchisee?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, obviously they're married in the sense that, you know, our success is based on the success of our franchisees. Their success is obviously based on their unit economics. So, you know, making sure that their sales levels are up and continuing to grow. And, you know, from a brand standpoint is continuing to grow. So that's expanding into new markets, adding new locations, renewing existing franchise locations. And so, you know, our goal, you know, we all have a like mind here is that, you know, we are the support center. We are here for the franchisees. That is our job. You know, we work for them. And at the end of the day, you know, it's our job to make sure that, you know, we're doing everything in our powers to make sure that they're successful. And if we're successful in that, then it's a win-win.
I love that. And one of a franchise brand recently told me it has to be a win-win or it doesn't work. So, you know, you've proving the point right there. And then finally, what is one piece of advice you would give to a corporate franchisor team? And what's one piece of advice you would give to franchisees?
Yeah, I would say from the franchisor perspective, it's listening to your franchisees. I mean, they are our customers. You know, as a franchisor, they are our customers. So making sure that they are being heard and we're getting insights from them. You know, like I mentioned, we're doing a lot of testing. Some of them are at corporate locations. Some of them are doing testing at franchise locations because we want that different experience. We want to hear from them as to what's going on in their businesses. And, you know, so it's certainly important to listen. And like you mentioned before, not feel like you're forcing things down. You know, and you're, it's kind of that two-way communication. And then from the franchisees, you know, be engaged, with not only your business, but the brand and the organization that you joined, and take advantage of the tools. I mean, when you become a franchisee, you're paying for the marketing resources. You're paying for the help in operations and in supply chain. And so I would say, you know, obviously be engaged and take advantage of the resources that are available and to help make you successful.
That's great. So you guys, it works if you work it. We all want to work together. I know franchisor, franchisee is very much both a parent, child, brother, sister, husband, wife, all sorts of those relationships, any sort of aspect you can imagine. But again, at the end of the day, you know, one success is everyone's success. Well, thank you, Brooks, so much. This was wonderful to catch up with you and talk. There's actually a green turtle down the street from me, so I'm thinking maybe an early lunch today. But again, you know, I think that our listeners are going to get a ton of insight, and best of luck with the rest of your brand refresh, and really looking forward to watching Zips Cleaning grow in the future.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to The Art of Franchise Marketing. This show is brought to you by NetCertive. We help brands and franchises execute better local advertising programs. To learn more, visit netcertive.com.